Happy Flag Day, everyone. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. So glad you're here. I have a powerful message to share today, but before I jump into it, let's open in prayer. Yahweh, we come before you today with grateful hearts. We are gathered under your banner, in your presence, because you are worth gathering for. Father, we are not here just to learn something new today. We are here to be changed. So we ask you right now, do what only you can do. Take this message and make it more than words. Let it be a living thing. Let it carry the weight of your truth and the warmth of your presence at the same time. Adonai, teach through me today. I am just a vessel. Whatever I've prepared, whatever I've studied, whatever I think I know, take it and breathe on it. Correct what needs correcting. Amplify what needs amplifying. And if you want to take us somewhere I didn't plan to go, we are open. We are yours. And for everyone who's listening, whether they are in this room or where they find this message days or weeks or months from now, we ask that not one person walks away the same. Let something shift today. Let something that was closed come open. Let something that was foggy become clear. Let the truth of who you are and what Yeshua has done settle so deep into our hearts that it changes how we see everything. How we see ourselves, how we see the world, how we see the battle that we are in, and the victory we already carry. We don't just want information, Yahweh. We want transformation. We want to look more like Yeshua when we leave this place than we did when we came in. That is the only thing that matters today. So have your way. We trust you with this moment. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. So today is Flag Day in America, June 14th. It's the day set aside each year to honor the American flag, what it represents, and what it has meant to generations of people who have lived and died under it. And there is something generally moving about that. The stories of men and women who gave everything for what that flag represents, they're not small stories. They are stories of sacrifice, of love for family and community, of a vision of freedom worth fighting for. We do not dismiss that lightly. But Flag Day also raises a question that most people never stop to ask. Not the political question. Not the cultural question, the deeper one. What does a flag actually mean? What does it mean to stand under one? What does it mean to pledge yourself to one? How many of us have grown up speaking the Pledge of Allegiance? When I was young, we used to start every school day with the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know if they still do that. What does it mean? And for those of us who follow Yeshua, who have been translated out of one kingdom and into another, how do we think about the banners of this world in light of the banner of the kingdom of God? I want to be honest with you today. There are sincere believers who hold the position that Christians should not give allegiance to the American flag at all. Their reasoning comes from a genuine place, a conviction that our citizenship is in heaven, that pledging allegiance to any earthly symbol compromises our total devotion to Yeshua. I respect that conviction. It comes from a real and serious reading of Scripture, and I will not mock it or dismiss it. But I want to offer something more nuanced today, because I believe there are two different realms at work here, and that collapsing them into one actually does a disservice to both. Earthly citizenship is real, Gratitude for the nation you were born into is real. Honor for those who sacrifice for your freedom is real. None of that is automatically in conflict with kingdom allegiance. Until it is. And when it is, when those two realms come into direct and unavoidable conflict, Scripture does not leave us guessing about where the believer stands. There's only one answer. But before we get there, we need to understand something that most of us in the modern world have completely lost. We need to understand what a banner actually is. In our world, flags are largely ceremonial. They hang on poles outside government buildings. They are folded and presented at funerals. They wave in the breeze at a sporting event. They are symbols. Meaningful symbols, yes, but largely visual and emotional in their function. In the ancient world, a banner was something else entirely. The Hebrew word is nes. It referred to a standard, a signal pole, a banner lifted high so that people could see it from a distance. But its function was not decorative. In a military context, the banner told you everything you needed to know in the chaos of battle. It told you whose army you were part of. It told you whose authority you were fighting under. It told you where to rally when the lines broke and confusion set in. Soldiers didn't just carry banners. They oriented their entire battle around them. When the banner moved, the army moved. When the banner fell, it was catastrophic, not just symbolically, but strategically. A fallen banner meant the army had lost its center, its identity, its point of reference. A banner declared three things simultaneously: identity, allegiance, and covering. Who are you? You are the people of this banner. Who do you serve? You serve the one whose banner this is. Who covers you? The one whose name is on that banner. This is the world Moses lived in. This is the world the ancient Israelites understood instinctively. Which means when Moses does what he does in Exodus 17, the weight of it lands differently than we might expect. Let's read the text together. This is Exodus 17, 8 through 16, and I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now it came to pass that whenever Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But whenever he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on each side, so his hands were steady until sunset. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called its name Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Sit with this scene for a moment, because there is more happening here than a battle story. Israel is in the wilderness. They have come out of Egypt. They have crossed the sea. They are learning, sometimes painfully, what it means to be the people of Yahweh. And then Amalek comes. No warning, no negotiation. Just warfare. Moses doesn't panic. He doesn't retreat. He positions. He sends Joshua into the valley to fight, and he goes to the top of the hill with the staff of God. That staff is significant. is the same staff that parted the sea, the same staff through which Yahweh had already demonstrated his power. Moses isn't bringing a weapon. He is bringing a declaration. He is positioning himself above the battle in the place of intercession and authority, holding up the very instrument through which Yahweh had already proven himself faithful. And something remarkable happens. As long as his hands are raised, Israel prevails. When they drop, Amalek gains ground. Now think about what this means. The outcome of the physical battle in the valley is directly connected to the posture of intercession on the hill. Joshua is fighting with everything he has down below, and every swing of a sword is sustained by what is happening above. The two are not separate. The seen and the unseen are working together. Moses grows weary, his arms grow heavy, and this is where Aaron and Hur step in, one on each side, holding up his hands until the sun goes down. They don't fight in the valley. They sustain the posture of victory on the hill. And because they do, Joshua wins. When it is over, Moses builds an altar. He doesn't name it after Joshua's military skill. He doesn't name it after Israel's courage. He names it Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. He is declaring something that goes beyond this one battle. He's declaring that Yahweh himself is the banner, not a symbol of Yahweh, not a flag representing Yahweh. Yahweh is the banner. The identity, the allegiance, the covering, it all belongs to him. The victory was his before the first sword was drawn. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Earlier, I said a statement worth repeating. The outcome of the physical battle in the valley is directly connected to the posture of intercession on the hill. Think about that. Every ministry needs intercessors. Intercessors who understand this concept, that what they are interceding for will either help the ministry win or it will cause it to lose. If they grow weary in their intercession, the enemy can creep in and gain ground. Intercessors, you are powerful. You are needed, so necessary for the victory. And you are above the battle. You're up on the hill, maintaining a posture of victory. If you want to be an intercessor for my ministry, I appreciate that. Send me an email and let me know that you're praying for us. And I will give you prayer points to pray for, how I need you to pray for me in the ministry. I need intercessors. And we want intercessors because intercessors are the foundation of the victory. Amen. Now turn with me to Song of Solomon 2:4. Because Yahweh Nisi is not only a battle declaration. Listen to what the beloved says. He brought me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. Oh, wow. The same word, the same banner, but here is not raised over an army. It is raised over a person, over a beloved one, over someone cherished and covered and claimed. This is the fullness of Yahweh Nisi. He is the banner that goes before us in battle, and he is the banner that covers us in love. He fights for us, and he delights in us. These are not two different gods. This is the same Yahweh, warrior and lover, king and father, whose banner declares both victory and intimacy at the same time. Isn't that cool? That's so awesome. So now let's return to the question we opened with. What does it mean for a follower of Yeshua to relate to the banners of this world, specifically to the flag of the nation we live in? I want to be fair to the position that says Christians should not pledge allegiance to the American flag. The heart behind that position is right. There is a genuine danger in connecting national identity with kingdom identity. History is full of examples where the church wrapped itself so tightly in the flag of its nation that it lost its prophetic voice entirely, where patriotism became idolatry, where the cross and the flag became interchangeable symbols. That is a real and serious error, and the believers who warn against it are not wrong to do so. But I want to suggest that the answer is not necessarily to refuse all acknowledgement of earthly citizenship. I myself am a patriot. I'm glad I live in America. God bless America. But Yeshua himself navigated this. When the Pharisees tried to trap him with the question of taxes, whose image is on the coin, he didn't say earthly governments are illegitimate. He said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Two realms, both real, neither canceling the other. Paul writes in Romans 13 that we are to honor governing authorities. He wrote that under the reign of Nero, not exactly a friendly government. And yet he maintained that honoring authority in its proper place was consistent with kingdom allegiance. The key word is proper place. Here's the distinction that matters. Honoring a nation and pledging ultimate allegiance to its symbols are different things. You can be grateful for the country you were born in. You can honor those who served and sacrificed. You can pray for your government and participate in civic life. None of that requires you to place your ultimate identity and allegiance in an earthly banner. Because here's what Colossians 1:13 tells us about who we are now. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Transferred. That word is doing enormous work. This is not a dual citizenship arrangement where both kingdoms hold equal claim on you. There is a transfer, a relocation. You have been moved legally, covenantally, completely out of one domain and into another. Your primary citizenship, your deepest identity, your ultimate allegiance belongs to the kingdom of God. And we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Yeshua taught us to pray. The American flag represents something real, a nation, a history, a set of ideals, a community of people. There's much to honor there. But it is an earthly banner representing an earthly kingdom that will one day pass away. Yahweh Nisi is our eternal banner representing an eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. They occupy different realms. For most of daily life, those realms coexist without conflict. But when they come into direct conflict, when the earthly banner demands what only the heavenly banner has a right to claim, the answer for the believer has always been the same. Read Acts 5:29. The religious authorities commanded the apostles to stop preaching in the name of Yeshua. This is an earthly banner coming into conflict with the kingdom banner. Their response was not complicated. We must obey God rather than men. Not defiant, not political, just clear. As Psalm 27 puts it in the language of trust, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of Yahweh our God. Amen? Chariots and horses were the military power of that day. They were the flags of earthly strength and earthly security, And the psalmist is not saying chariots are evil. He is saying they are not where our ultimate trust belongs. There is a banner higher than any earthly standard. There is a name above every name, and it's in that name, the name of Yahweh our God, the name of Yeshua the Messiah, that we place our deepest trust and our final allegiance. We don't put our trust in the government. Many today are doing that. They want the government to have the final say in everything, so that the government can provide for them. And what it's breeding is a culture of entitlement. They're entitled to benefits. They're entitled to services. They demand that the government take care of them, protect them, provide for them, do everything for them. But, you know, they are not our source. They're not the one we should be putting our trust in. Yahweh is. Yahweh is our provider. Yahweh is our protector. Yahweh is the one we should be looking to. He may use the government, but it's not the government that we look to. It's God Almighty, Yahweh. The question is not whether you love your country. The question is, under whose banner do you ultimately stand? Now I want to talk about the warfare dimension of this, because Yahweh Nisi is a battle name, and the battle is real. But there is something that changes everything about how we fight. We are not fighting toward victory. We are fighting from it. This is not a small distinction. It's the difference between an army that doesn't know if it will win and an army that is enforcing a victory that has already been secured. Those two armies fight completely differently. One fights in desperation. The other fights in authority. Colossians 2, 14 through 15 in the Tree of Life version tells us what happened at the cross. He wiped out the handwritten code and record of debts with the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross and disarming the rulers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Disarmed, publicly shamed, triumphed over. This is not the language of a battle still in progress. This is the language of a decisive, completed victory at the cross. Yeshua did not just pay a debt. He dismantled the authority of the powers that held humanity captive. He stripped them of their legal standing. He exposed them for what they were. And he did it publicly, openly, so that heaven and earth could see that the victory was real and complete. Oh, thank Lord for hitting the cross. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we are going to go much deeper into what this means, who these powers are, where they came from, what their relationship to the nations actually is, in our message on June 21st and June 28th. So you have that to look forward to. I hope you join us then. They're going to be powerful, powerful messages. This is just an introductory to those future messages. I'm excited to be able to share them with you. But what happened at the cross is far more cosmic and far more sweeping than most of us have ever been taught. And I believe it's going to change the way you see everything. So stay with us for those messages. You will not want to miss them. Hallelujah. But for today, here's what you need to carry. Banner of Yahweh Nisi is not raised over a battle that is in doubt. It is raised over a battle that is already won. Go back to Exodus 17. Moses did not raise the staff of God hoping Yahweh might show up. He raised it because Yahweh had already declared himself as Israel's banner. The posture of raised hands was not a request. It was a declaration. It was a physical expression of a spiritual reality. Yahweh is our banner. The victory belongs to Him, and we are standing in that truth. So if you are an intercessor, especially if you're an intercessor for my ministry, that is the standard. That is the posture that I want you to intercede in, from a position of victory already won. But we declare and decree who we are and who Yahweh is, and that we have the victory, and we're enforcing that victory in the earth. Amen. The enemy knows the banner has been raised. He knows the victory has been declared. And so his strategy is not to win a battle he has already lost. His strategy is to get us to lower our hands, to make us forget whose banner we are under, to exhaust us, discourage us, distract us until our arms drop and we lose the posture of victory. That is why Aaron and Hur matter so much. Moses could not hold the posture alone. His arms grew heavy. And that is not a failure. That is humanity. I get tired. I need people to hold up my hands in the spirit. They help me. I can't fight this battle alone. I need people with me. Are you going to be with me? Are you going to be an intercessor? Are you going to stand with me in a posture of victory? Because we are not designed to stay in the posture of faith in isolation. We need people on either side of us who will hold up our arms when we grow weary. People who will remind us of whose banner we are under when the battle in the valley makes us forget. Who is your Aaron? Who is your Hur? Who stands with you on the hill and holds up your hands when you cannot hold them up yourself? We fight for victory, but we fight together. You lift me up, I'll lift you up. We hold each other up. We stand together in victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we close, I want to bring this back to something intimate. All this language, cosmic powers, legal victory, transferred kingdoms, spiritual warfare, it can start to feel very large and very abstract. And it is large. It is cosmic. But it's also deeply, nakedly personal. Song of Solomon 2:4 again. His banner over me is love. His banner over you is love. Not over the army. Over me. Over you. The same Yahweh who raises his banner over the nations is a cosmic act of reclamation, raising his banner over you as an individual act of love. You are not just a soldier in his army. You are a beloved child under his covering. You are someone he delights in, someone he fights for, someone over whom he has declared his love as a banner for all to see. Oh, doesn't that make you feel loved and accepted? Doesn't that make you feel good? This is the Father's heart. And I say Father deliberately because everything we have talked about today, the nations, the banners, the battle, the victory, all of it flows from the heart of a father who wanted a family made in his image, a family drawn from every tribe and language and people and nation, a family that would bear his name and live under his banner and reflect his glory in the earth. Oh, we need to be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. The cross was not just a legal transaction. It was a father doing whatever it took to bring his children home. Yahweh Nisi is not just a battle standard. It is a father raising his banner over his beloved and saying, you are mine. I have fought for you, and my love over you will not be moved. Nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Look that up in the Bible. Not angels, not demons. not life, not death, not anything. He loves us so much. And he paid the price at Calvary. Hallelujah. And his banner over us is love. We are going to explore the Father's heart in that cosmic context much more fully when we come back on June 21st. Because the story of the nations, the story of Babel, the story of what Yeshua accomplished at the cross, it is all, at its deepest level, the story of a father who refused to let his family stay lost. But today, let this land where it needs to land. Under his banner, you are loved. Under his banner, you are covered. Under his banner, you are victorious. Not because of what you have done, but because of what he has declared and what he has done at the cross. Amen. So Flag Day is a good day to ask the question that most people never ask. What banner are you actually living under? Not what banner you would say you live under if someone asked on a Sunday morning. What banner actually shapes your decisions, your identity, your security, your sense of who you are and where you belong? For those of us who have been transferred into the kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah, the answer is Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is our banner. Not a symbol of him, not a religious tradition representing him. Him, his presence, his authority, his love, his victory. That is what we stand under. That is what we rally to. That is what we declare over our lives and our families and our communities. And so today, let's close not with a quiet prayer, but with a declaration. A decree spoken out loud, because words have weight and declarations have power. And there's something right about standing under the banner of Yahweh Nisi and saying out loud what we believe. So let's speak this together. Repeat after me. We declare today that Yahweh is our banner. We stand under no earthly flag as our ultimate allegiance. We have been transferred out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of Yeshua, the Messiah. And that transfer is total and complete. We declare that the victory of the cross is real, that the powers have been disarmed, that the enemy's authority has been stripped, and that we fight not toward victory, but from it. We declare that his banner over us is love, that we are covered, claimed, and cherished by the Father who fought for us and brought us home. We lift our hands today as a declaration of whose banner we stand under. We will not lower them. And when we grow weary, we will hold up one another's arms. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is our banner, now and forever. Amen. Now, if you are listening and you could not honestly declare that with us because you don't really know Yahweh Nisi, you can know him. All you have to do is repent and declare your desire for him, and then get baptized and filled with his Holy Spirit. Acts 2:31 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua, and you will be saved. So if you want to know him, repent and be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're in Bay County, Florida, and you need help with this, you want to be baptized, send me an email, lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com, and I will absolutely love to get you baptized. Amen? Because we want you to be standing from a place of victory as well. And if you want to know what it means to be under the banner of love and to live your life under a banner, victorious and loved, let me know. Let me know. Amen. Well, I felt the Holy Spirit on this today, and I pray you were blessed and encouraged by this lesson. This week, remember whose banner you live under. You now dwell in the kingdom of light, and the powers of darkness have no authority over you. As you walk in this truth, may the Lord bring shalom to your home.